In 3 weeks, agencies will have to check the Do Not Pay portal before they either cut a check to a contractor or send money to citizens. But that website is missing critical data that could help prevent improper payments. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, joins us with more. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So, Jason, what is that data that's missing from the Do Not Pay list?
Well, the Treasury Department, which runs the Do Not Pay portal, by law cannot access the death master file, which is run and brought together by the Social Security Administration. Now, the death master file contains about 86 million records from SSA payment records and includes everything from someone who has been deceased, their social security number, their name, their date of birth, their date of death. Really important stuff when you're trying to make sure you're not sending fraudulent payments out. Now, Richard Gregg is the Treasury's Fiscal Assistant Secretary.
Treasury's long-term vision is to have our Do Not Pay Business Center and Data Analytics Service become a robust, timely, and flexible service for agencies to use in identifying and preventing waste, fraud, and abuse. To fully achieve this vision, Treasury will work to both improve the quality and the availability of data, as well as strengthen our analytics capability. The key issue for Do Not Pay is access to data.
And it's not just the death master file that Treasury doesn't have access to. Greg says the prisoner database, the National Directory of New Hires are also big databases that would help ensure that money's going to the right people that are not on the Do Not Pay list currently. And in other cases, Treasury can get access to other data sources through computer matching agreements, but that by far is not the preferred approach.
I think steps were taken in Iperia to help in the computer matching. If further refinement could make that even easier, that would streamline the process because it is, having gone through that numerous times, it's onerous to get the agreements. And even though there's some deadlines set in that would further improvements would help.
Now, you heard Greg mention IPERIA. That's the Improper Payments Elimination and Recovery Act of 2012. President Obama signed into law, obviously, last year. Now, the data is so challenging that even agency inspector generals want an exception from the data matching law. And, in fact, the government sometimes looks to the private sector for information first because it's easier to get it there than to go to the government source.
So, Jason, what are Congress and the White House doing about all of this?
Well, two things emerged from yesterday's hearing with the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee. First, both OMB and the Social Security Administration are encouraging members to look at the proposals in the President Obama's 2014 budget request to improve program integrity. Now, Maria LaCanfora is the Acting Deputy Commissioner for Retirement and Disability Policy at SSA. And she says, listen, we're trying to strike a balance between what federal agencies have access to data and make sure there's access for law enforcement, but also hold it closed for 3 years after people leave so criminals can have access to it and then use it for bad purposes. Now, there's other things that's going on as well. Now, Congress also is looking at trying to improve the complexity of this data, and Tom Coburn is the ranking member of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee.
I have directed my staff to take the recommendations from the budget and as fast as possible get that into legislative language. So they're going to be contacting you, and we're going to find a broad range of bipartisan support for actually making these changes so that this state data can be utilized. And also probably, I'd love your recommendations, this shouldn't have to go from you to Commerce, Commerce to NITS, NITS to everybody else. It ought to be able to, here's what it costs, if there's a charge for this, it ought to go straight to Social Security, go to all the rest of them, so that we clean up the steps in terms of getting this information available.
Now, one thing to keep in mind about the death master file, it's by far not 100% complete. It does not list everybody who died, and even the data in the system is not always accurate. For instance, the Government Accountability Office is in the middle of a study, but released some of their findings at yesterday's hearing. And one of the things was they found was 1,300 people with records that have listed their beneficiaries of before death was between 111 years old and 129 years old. So these are some very old people still receiving benefits up until their time of death.
They must not smoke or drink.
Exactly. Additionally, they found that the records of about 1,800 people who had Social Security numbers, but their date of death was prior to the year Social Security numbers came into existence. So again, another problem with the database. But still, even though it's not perfect, agencies still want access to it.
So Jason, tell us, what status is the Do Not Pay list in now? How many agencies are already using it?
So Greg says about 36 agencies in 9 states who administer federal funds are using the Do Not Pay list. And the portal does include a fair amount of information from a bunch of different databases, including the debarred contractors list, individuals who owe child support or non-tax debt, and several others. Now, Treasury's Greg says data is important, but it's also about how the data is used.
Treasury is also working to improve its data analytics service. Improving data quality will provide agencies with reliable results and minimize false positives. In the long term, Treasury is working to develop a forward-looking continuous monitoring fraud identification tool. Treasury will also enhance Do Not Pay to provide a feedback loop to the agency so they can improve their own data, basically a continuous learning process.
Greg says there's a third leg to this stool. There's data analytics, and then there's the people. The people have to have the skills and the tools to manipulate the data to help agencies make decisions. So that's another area where Treasury will focus on over the next year or so. And the pressure to use this tool, the Do Not Pay tool, isn't just because of the law or OMB mandate. In fact, Danny Werfel is the controller of the Office of Management and Budget. He told the committee yesterday that there's a new goal of 97% accuracy or a 3% improper payment rate by 2016 for all of government. That would be down from the current improper payment rate of about 4.35%. So that's a whole percent, 1.35% lower over the next 3 years. Now, Werfel reiterated several times during the hearing for that lawmakers really need to seriously consider the administration's proposals in the budget, because without congressional help, meeting that goal of 3% of improper payments rate by 2016 will be much harder. And when I was looking back and doing a little bit of research, I found that this was not the first time that Werfel and other members of the administration and the financial management community have gone to Congress saying, we need your help. Looks like Congress is finally taking them a little more seriously.
And Jason, very quickly, it sounds to me, though, like the Do Not Pay list is not going to be affected that much by Social Security information. How big does Social Security really figure in the total problem of improper payments when it comes to Do Not Pay?
Oh, they're huge. I mean, you know, the Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, I mean, those are your big three when it comes to improper payments.
But doesn't Medicaid kind of outweigh Social Security improper payments by like 100 to 1?
Very true. But at the same time, this death master file is related back to Medicare and Medicaid, because if someone dies, yet they're still, their family is still receiving Medicaid benefits, that's where that death master file comes in as
gotcha.
It relates to Social Security.
All right. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And you'll find Jason's story now at federalnewsradio.com.